Hello, everyone. My name is Dejan Milojčić, and I'm editor of IEEE Internet Computing and Distributed Systems Online. This is an installment of Trend Wars, and today we'll be talking about Web 2.0 and enterprise IT. According to Wikipedia, Web 2.0 refers to perceived second generation of web-based communities and hosted services such as social networking sites, wikis, and Fluxonomies, which aim to facilitate collaboration and sharing between users. Web 2.0 is especially widely used in the consumer space for those people who are their own IT administrators. Today we will, however, focus on enterprise IT. It is my pleasure to introduce to you three distinguished guests, Rich Friedrich, Director of Enterprise Systems and Services Lab in HP Labs, Dave Cohen, the Chief Technology Architect of Merrill Lynch, and Dr. Alex Dreiling, the Research Program Manager at SAP Labs in Brisbane. These three distinguished guests represent and cover almost the whole space of enterprise IT. They represent an infrastructure company, applications and services company, and a financial vertical. And hopefully they'll be able to touch on all aspects of Web 2.0. Let me start with Rich. In your mind, Rich, what are the benefits of Web 2.0 for modern IT? And if possible, could you please focus on what does data-centric nature of Web 2.0 mean to enterprise IT as opposed to normally control-centric nature of IT? What do long tail and economies of scale mean for enterprise IT? And finally, given this whole direction, is enterprise IT really converging towards SMB and consumer space?
So I think when I think of Web 2.0, I think of two distinct attributes. First of all, there's the data-centric mechanisms. We think about mashups and related technologies. But I think more importantly is the community aspect, the ability to build portals and share information and have that sense of community where the knowledge of the community is able to permeate everyone who's a member of that community. And I see those as both very powerful elements inside the enterprise. From the sort of data-centric point of view, the ability to pull data from various applications to create new visualizations of that information. So for example, you can imagine creating a CIO dashboard where the information about the business is done through mashups from various applications. It's a powerful integration tool. But I think the real power is in the sharing of the knowledge and the collective wisdom of the community, and that's also provided by Web 2.0 technologies. What's really interesting, I think, will be a challenge for IT is as IT organizations try to become more standard and create components that are reused, people want to use Web 2.0 technologies to create new applications on the fly. So, for example, I had a student working with me for the summer who did a mashup of the enterprise directory and the HP Labs technical report. So now you could get an instant view of who's published what inside the company. And that was done without IT being involved. And of course, those kind of capabilities will become more pervasive throughout IT.
Thank you. In the spirit of Web 2.0, we have conducted even this interview geographically distributed. So Rich and I are sitting in Palo Alto here. We will now switch to Manhattan using Hello Technologies and talk to Dave Cohen, and subsequently Dr. Dreiling will talk to us from Böblingen, Germany. Dave?
So the convergence with Web 2.0 is really, I think, an interesting inflection point in that people who use technology expect instant response. And IT has traditionally been in the way of instant response. So users are very sophisticated in getting around IT. And over time, I think, I think back to Lotus 1-2-3 in Excel and look at today the sophisticated nature of what's built on those reasonably unsophisticated tools. Now, When you look at Web 2.0, it is a reflection on or against all of the client-server infrastructure, all of the web services infrastructure, all of the really structured things that IT puts together. those tend to be constraints because they take too long to deliver. They're too complex to support. And I think people are crying out to collaborate and to get at data without having to go through the middle layer of IT. And I think that's really what the convergence is all about.
Thanks, Dave. Alex, what are your thoughts?
Well, I guess the major innovation happens along three dimensions, so to say, if you wish. And the first one would be technology. When we look at Ajax, for instance, what Ajax has done to web applications or to websites, previously they were mainly for accessing information, reading something up, maybe have a form to put some data, send some data back. But these days, actually, if you look at an Ajax-based application, the whole user behavior is radically changed, and moreover, Ajax enabled to bring full-blown applications into a browser. So the browser is no longer just a reading tool; it's more like an application framework. So this is I guess the first one. The second one would be innovation along applications, where you just see these days, for instance, something like Flickr. 15 years ago, I didn't see people gathering, throwing 100 pictures on the ground and sort of looking through them. So that's an entirely new application and something that really arises with Web 2.0 principles. And the third piece of innovation, I guess, is along the business. You see that these days, whole new branches of economy and whole new business ideas arise from that. So if you look, for instance, at YouTube, just by building that massive repository, which the users contribute to, led to Google buying them for massive amounts of money. And this in a time where even a lot of people struggle with how Google actually earns money, and which again wasn't possible about 15 years ago. So along those three dimensions, I see the major innovation happening here. And I guess this is leading to IT has a lot more to offer to the business these days. And as my as Rich and Dave already said, this partially without including IT in these days anymore.
Thanks, Alex. My next question is, how does Web 2.0 fit into the broader ecosystem? In particular, what are the most important abstractions, platforms, and approaches that will impact IT? For example, service-oriented architectures, virtualization, software as a service, etc. What are the next most important customer problems, and how will, if at all, Web 2.0 address them? And the last question is, what are the needs of ISVs and service developers, and what will make them adopt or reject Web 2.0 approaches? Can we start with Dave this time?
So I think there's a journey that we have to go through, because the fundamental assumptions of everything, at least in financial services, of everything is redundant and failover is an absolute requirement, from the physical electricals all the way up through the software, is directly opposed to the Web 2.0 value proposition. And in order to reconcile the requirements of these two opposing ends of the spectrum, there needs to be some mediation layer that falls out of this. Because the reality is, you want to trust the infrastructure in the same way you trust the phone system or the water system, but you want it to be just as simple. And that simplicity is really what's missing today on the IT side of the world. And the complexity on that side is driven by all of these very, very structured, top-down, almost draconian constraints that we somewhat arbitrarily imposed. If you talk to the business people, they want a trade-off between those types of requirements and getting at their data at the speed of light. And that's the challenge. And that challenge is not going to be solved today or tomorrow.
Thanks, Dave. Alex?
Yeah, but I guess referring to what Dave just said, I guess SOA is the major abstraction principle here. We see more and more data repositories on the internet being opened up are now accessible via web services, and SAP has done the same thing, opening up the entire application range to be accessed via enterprise services, which in fact enables all those mashups and all the things that all process composition on the fly, all those things that you want to be able to do in these days. And I guess so in terms of abstraction principles, SOA is really what sort of enabled that on a larger scale also in the enterprise space. I guess when it comes to customer expectations, when you look at the innovation cycles that you have these days and also the external pressure, for instance, through legislation, the way Sarbanes-Oxley came up within 12 months, for instance, or different things like environmental thinking and the pressure that creates on companies, then I guess user expectation and external forces are changing so rapidly that companies have to be able to really react to that very quickly. And I guess this is the major challenge, and this is the major challenge also that has to be addressed via Web 2.0 technologies to really enable a type of flexibility that hasn't existed before to be able to cope with this constant change.
Thank you. Rich?
Well, I think Dave and Alex hit on most of the key points. I think the only two things I would add is that we hypothesize these days that as the world moves towards SOA interfaces for those services, and Web 2.0 technologies might be the glue layer that helps you glue some of those pieces together, especially across a multi-company supply chain or distributed environment such as that. And the other thing I think that's interesting from a user point of view is this whole notion of data integration. You know, Dave touched on this earlier. IT often is seen as being very inflexible, very rigid, and yet the user wants information and he or she wants it now. And so what's really intriguing is, as we open up these repositories, as Alex just mentioned, can we open up the enterprise repositories and the operational repositories to now get a single view of the truth, which we couldn't do before because different applications lock down different sets of data in their own data repositories. Now that generates another set of issues that Dave's already hinted at when it comes to security and access control policy and Sarbanes-Oxley. So clearly we need more additional technologies in place to assure those capabilities there as well. But one thing I do remember being involved in the OSF distributed computing environment in the early 90s and CORBA, okay, I carry those scars and have carried those for the last 15 years. We built incredibly rich environments that we thought a priori could handle almost anything. And I think in reality they could. And what happened was HTTP came along, very simple, and people were willing to trade off all of this richness and security and access control and marshaling and unmarshaling of data for something that was good enough. So I think the point here will be, how do we find in Web 2.0 technology, especially inside the enterprise, that which is just good enough?
Thank you, Rich. My last question for this very insightful group of people here is, what is your personal and your company's vision for computing, be it with or without Web 2.0 in the next 5 to 10 years? And if you can, while answering this question, focus on three aspects. First, what does your company need from the rest of the industry and academia to reach this vision? What do you believe is most critical for your customers? And the last question is, what advices do you have to offer to this audience? Alex, maybe we can start with you this time.
Okay, so my company's vision is subject to be communicated by our executive board and CEO, of course, so there's nothing to add. It's clearly outlined. I guess what we can add from an SAP research perspective here is really we're just at the beginning of a journey here. So we're deep diving into this space of service-oriented architecture, enterprise service-oriented architecture. And of course, I understand like all the mashups and everything, it's very fancy, it's very flashy. We want to have it at right now, but the point is in enterprise computing, as Dave has already mentioned, we have things like we have sophisticated authorization, authentication, privacy means in place, and meshing up data is just a bit more complicated in that space. So there are remaining research challenges that we sort of have to address in order to make that happening on a larger scale here. So when it comes to academia, I guess, addressing these issues, scalable architectures, what has been addressed before, we want to have that information instantly. We don't want to wait for a couple of seconds or even minutes. So scalable architectures is certainly one. Virtualization of services, that decreasing complexity of services, making them consumable. So lean consumption would be something. We have interoperability aspects that we need to address. We have semantic aspects that we have to address in order to make that SOA story really happening across various players, various repositories, both from the web and from enterprise applications.
Thank you, Dave. Rich?
I think Mark Hurd, our CEO, has made it pretty clear that HP's strategy is around these three notions of the next generation data center, the always connected mobile experience, and digital printing and imaging. When I think about IT and some of the work that we're doing in HP Labs related to research over the next 5 to 10 years, I think one key element is the notion of the cloud, right? Computing done in the cloud. And I think that's an evolution of client-server computing as well as the combination of Web 2.0. If you think about that, I think there's some very interesting questions, some of which we've already talked about and with respect to answering the previous questions that you asked, Dan. But as Alex mentioned, scale. I think in academia, we have failed at being able to put together what I'll call the science of large-scale systems. Right? If we are aeronautical engineers, we don't typically build, you know, a Boeing 757 or a new Airbus 380 without going through a series of incremental developments, including simulations and wind tunnel testing, before we deploy the actual product. But yet in computer science, we hack things all of the time and then wonder why it collapses. So I think this is one important area, is what's the science of large scale IT? Alex also talked about semantic. You know, there's a huge semantic gap between what I'm trying to achieve semantically and how syntactically I have to configure all of the software and the hardware to make that happen. Which I think also points to another challenge all of us face, and this is more sort of a personal reflection. If you think about it, we have certain personas throughout the day. Huh? Sometimes I'm the director of a laboratory, right? Sometimes I'm a peer with my colleagues. Sometimes I'm the father of two teenage daughters. And we move in and out of those personas, yet the data that we need to access oftentimes is, once again, is in these isolated repositories and can't be shared. So if my daughter calls, she doesn't know that I'm currently in this video conference, right? But yet there's no reason why she couldn't see on my calendar that I'm not available right now and not even try to call, right? I mean, these are simple things that I think reflect how complex our lives have become, but yet I think we could simplify those things. And so I think those are some of the key areas that are really important when we start to think about IT and the applications and data over the next 5 to 10 years.
Thank you, Rich. Dave?
Well, I think, you know, just to point back towards the management of Merrill Lynch and senior executives across financial services, the reality of information and the desire to access information is a transformation of data stored somewhere and the synthesis of that information through computing. And that computing happens at the edge of the network wherever people are. And for our customers, that's a global distribution problem. It is definitely planetary scale. But obviously, pushing the data to the edge of that network becomes very suspect and undermines the trust of the infrastructure itself. And that's really the key. I think that's why the rhetoric in the marketing side of the world talks about utility, because trust is all about utility. And how do we manage the central data repositories and deliver things that people need? And that's very consistent with all technology that's been developed since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. This isn't about computing as a marketing function, but more about an engineering problem for planetary scale. And that's really the challenge that we as IT personnel have to solve.
Well, thank you very much. This was exceptionally insightful for me. and I'm sure it will be equally insightful for our audience. I would only like to conclude with the announcement of the next installment. We will most likely address software as a service as the next topic in the next few months. Thanks again, Rich, Dave, Alex. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.